Are you planning on using? Okay. All right. Well, we're in our third week of I Am Church Member. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's these little books that we're going through the next, well, it'll be the next 3 weeks after this week. But if you haven't been here and you missed out, there are free books out there that are free to you. We want you to take those and be a part of this, read it. We also want you to come on Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, of course, all 3 weeks we've done Bible study, we've had snow. So hopefully, depending on what the week holds for us, we'll be able to have Bible study. But we caught up this week. We covered two sets of questions, and we had really good conversation. So if you would be so interested to come and just learn a little bit more about what the chapters are and go over those questions with us, it's a good time. Nobody died, and nobody was embarrassed or anything like that. It was a good time. So come and join us. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I put you with groups and stuff, so it's a lot of fun. But we're in our third week this week. The first couple weeks we talked about, week one was, I will be a functioning church member, okay? And then week two was, I will be a unifying church member. And for those of you maybe that haven't been here and don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not asking that you join our church, although we would love for you to be a part of Deer Creek Church. What I'm talking about here specifically, but also in the local church as well, is the universal church, okay? The universal church is all those that have come to Christ and believe in Him. So that is the Lord's church. That's the body of Christ, okay? Whether it's this church or another church or wherever they gather in the name of Jesus Christ, that is the universal church, okay? And then we talk about the local church, which is where Deer Creek is. We are the local church, okay? So we want you to be a member of the body of Christ, and we also want you to be a member of Deer Creek as well. Okay, so I wanted to clear that up. But when we talk about being a functioning church member, we talk about being a unifying church member, we're talking about when Christ comes into our life, this is who we are, this is how He changes us, and this is how we ought to live. And we do that by how we act when we come together as a local body. Okay, so this week is, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. I'm going to read that again. Rainer wrote this, not me. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. Now, I grew up with an older brother and older sister and older brother. My preferences and my desires were not the top of the list ever. And I had to fight for what I wanted on TV or the music I wanted to listen to. Now, I will say that being the younger brother, I do have a diverse love for music. I have listened to anything and everything because I had a brother and sister that I was 18 months apart with my brother, and then my sister, I believe we're 4 years apart. I try not to keep track of that, but I think we're 4 years apart there. And so I heard everything from NSYNC to MXPX to country music to Southern rock to, I mean, I heard it all. And then my parents on top of that. So I even though I was the youngest one and my preferences weren't always heard, I did gain a little bit from listening to their privileges and what they wanted or their preferences. So it was hard being the younger child, and you didn't always get your way. So you just kind of had to go along. Now, I'm not saying that I learned real quick to be a servant, because I didn't, not being a brother. I was more of a of an agitator, and if I couldn't get my personal preferences, I was going to be an agitator. Now, this morning, we don't want you to be an agitator, okay? We're going to go the opposite direction with that. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about in Scripture one of my favorite stories about the disciples, and we're going to go there, and it's going to be Mark chapter 9, and Rainer covers this in his book, but we're going to dissect that and open it up a little bit more. But we're going to talk about being a servant. Okay, when your preferences and your desires, we want to put those aside and we want to begin to focus on Christ, okay? And one of those things that we see in this particular chapter is the disciples getting a little bit big for their britches. And Jesus kind of brings them back down and reminds them about who they should be and why they should be that way. And so if you have your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 9. 33 through 37, Rainer begins to talk about the servant motif, okay, and why we should be a servant, and why we should have a servant's heart, and what Jesus says about that. And so Jesus deals with a little bit of this quarreling amongst the 12 of who is the greatest, okay? Now, anytime you get guys together and there's any kind of a competition, there's all kinds of, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. It's just natural to guys. Now, you ladies, I'm not sure of how that goes. You probably do in your head, so just go along with it there, okay? But for guys, it's a very competitive thing. And so now you take what is normally in men to be competitive and the best, and you add Jesus into that equation. Here is the Messiah, who we believe is the Messiah, who is going to die for us, and we want to be his numero uno. So you've got this struggle amongst these young, and I remind you, I say young adolescent, we call them men. In Jewish culture, they would be considered men, but you got to understand, these disciples are fairly young gentlemen, okay? And so imagine having a bunch of teenage boys sitting with Jesus the Messiah and trying to struggle to be the number one disciple. And therein lies this quarreling issue, okay? So let's pick up in the scripture in chapter 9, verses 33 through 37 says this. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? I love that. Jesus knows already. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, probably elbowing each other. For on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. I like this part even better. Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. It's a little confusing language there. But understand what Jesus is getting at here. Okay? I mean, you all know it. If you've ever been on a youth trip, if you were ever part of a youth group or you were any kind of Boy Scouts and whatnot, you know the conversations and things that go on in the back of the bus, and you know that these guys were seeing, you know, talking about who was the greatest, and Jesus, being the youth pastor, as I like to picture it, he already knew what was going on and what they were talking about, but he wanted them to vocalize it because Jesus is about to drop knowledge on them. And so Jesus drops this knowledge on them, and he totally reverses everything that they've been told and learned over the years. You know, as in the world we learn, if you want to be the best, you work the hardest, you just take every opportunity you can, and you it's cutthroat, and you just get there, and you do it, and you rise to the top, and you'll be successful. But now Jesus is flipping that on its lid. And you got to remember, you know, some of these guys were tax collectors. Some of these guys were fishermen. So they know the competitive nature of the world. And so now Jesus is saying to them, he says, what were you discussing? They kept quiet. But then Jesus says, after they tell him that they were talking about who is the greatest, he says, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You should be a servant. And you got to understand that word servant comes with it some negative connotations in that time. Servants were ones that would go out and do things, and they were kind of the lower ones. But Jesus says you need to be a servant. Then you should be serving others. You see, it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what Jesus has called us to do. And how can we best get to that point? You see, it has no, I'm just your pastor. God has called me here to lead you all in the direction that he has called me here to do. Okay? There's nothing special about me except for the fact that God called me to be here. And so the point is this, that we shouldn't want our own, we don't want our name in lights. We don't want to be, have our, decisions and our preferences have to be the number one thing. We want to do whatever we can to advance the kingdom of Christ. And if your preferences and your desires begin to cause division amongst the body of Christ, you're backwards. You're backwards. You're striving to be the greatest when we're not called to be the greatest. We're called to be servants. We're called to be the guy in the back. Now, I did drama from sixth grade to eighth grade, and I really enjoyed it. But I like to be the guy out on stage. God knew that. But there were all these people behind the scenes. Nobody ever saw them. But without them, we couldn't do the shows that we did. Folks, that's the people we're called to be. The servants. We're called to put others before ourselves. And in this world, that's not the thing that is being preached. That's not the thing that the world is telling us to be. The world tells us to be cutthroat, to step on others to get to where you're going. And so we have to fight that. Because sometimes that mentality, that way of thinking, seeps into the church. And we begin to wrestle with each other, ask this question, maybe not amongst our inner circles, but we talk about who's the greatest. Who's in the church? Who does this? I'll tell you a story because my grandma's not here and the other gentleman has passed away. The church I grew up in, Vandover Baptist Church over in Schmeiser Mill in Fenton. I was baptized there, came to faith there. We always joked with my grandma and Larry Shaw. We always joked about it was their church. Because nothing happened in that church without going by Marcella Miller or Larry Shaw. It just didn't happen. And if it did, there'd be things to answer for. Now, my grandma, she'll deny it to this day. And Larry, I don't know what he would have said. But that can't be, folks. That can't be. It can't be about others. It can't be about our preferences and we have to work together to advance the kingdom of Christ. We have to live for Jesus each and every day so that we are constantly humbled. That's exactly what Jesus does here. He humbles these disciples as they're puffing up their chest and beating on their chest and saying, I'm the greatest. He says, listen, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. You need to be the servant. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. A wonderful capstone of this is you go to John 13 where Jesus gets down and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. That's a wonderful picture of what kind of servant we should be. That's our Lord. He got down and knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples. And in a minute, we're going to talk about how Jesus even though he stepped down out of heaven, he's God's son, did not consider equality with God while he was here. He was a servant. Jesus deals with this quarreling amongst the 12, but I also like what he does at the end there when he begins to talk about the children as well. This is just a bonus, but I feel like it's there together and we need to talk about it. He said in 35, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all the servant and servant of all. Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. So even in that, Jesus is saying, he says, listen, it's important that these children, that you have these children in your life, that these children are in this ministry, that you take care of them, that you don't just don't push them aside. And folks, you got to understand, without children, your church is dying. And so that's important, because a lot of quarreling happens when we begin to talk about children's ministry and when we talk about maybe a youth group and things like that. Understand that it's not about you, but it's about advancing the kingdom of Christ. So how do we continue advancing the kingdom of Christ? Well, you got to have kids, because y'all are going to die someday, and then the next generation. And it's not enough to just to have kids, but you've got to invest in those kids' lives. Understand, parents and grandparents, when I talk about discipleship, it happens in the home first. You have to disciple your children. You have to disciple your grandkids. You were called to do it. And who better than their parents or their grandparents? As a youth pastor, it was one of those, it's kind of like what they do with teachers. Fix it. Send them to you, give me an hour a week, fix them. Get them saved. Well, listen, I only have an hour a week, and I've got 30 kids that I'll preach the gospel to as the best I can, but they got to hear it, and they got to see it at home. Because if they see you act one way at church and another way at home, they're going to see right through that, because kids can smell the manure. We have to be a servant. We have to have in our minds that we are to take care and disciple the next generation. It's not about us. It's not about our preferences. It's about worshiping Jesus Christ, living that out in our life, and leaving that legacy. We talk all the time about how you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, folks. All the stuff that you can acquire on this earth will one day rust and melt away. But the legacy that you live by discipling your children, by teaching them to love Jesus and showing them how to love Jesus, will continue to carry on down the line long after you're gone, if you do it right. Because they'll know that you love the Lord, and they'll see that genuine faith. And we hope and we pray that they continue to carry that on. But they'll know that mom or dad love Jesus and serve Jesus any way they could. Jesus makes this warning to them, to remind them to be a servant, to have this servant's heart. We are not to be the greatest, but to serve the greatest. It's not about our wants, it's not about our preferences, it's about living in His will and making disciples. We are to be servants. Rainer reminds us on page 35 of his book, he says, how many times servant and serve are mentioned in the New Testament? Servant is mentioned 57 times, serve is mentioned 58 times. The point is this. The point is that we are called to serve and to be servants of others. It's right there in the scripture. Paul understood this well. Paul understood this well. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul writes this. Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Verse 7, of which I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. Emphasis on verse 7 when Paul says that he says there, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Paul understood that it was a gift for him to be called into the service of Jesus Christ, that he was called down that day on the road to Damascus and called into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gave his life to Jesus. He realized that what he was doing was wrong. He instantly turned, he repented, and he began to live for Jesus however he could. And never once do you see Paul complaining about his situation or his circumstances, or complaining that he didn't have the right type of water and his cell wasn't painted the right color or the carpets were the wrong color. He simply lived for Jesus. He was shipwrecked, snake bit, and all the time persecuted, but he loved Jesus and he never quit. He was a servant. He was a servant. Page 36 of Rainer's book, he says, we will never find joy in church membership when we are constantly seeking things our way. But paradoxically, we will find the greatest joy when we choose to be last. That's what Jesus meant when he said that, when he said the last will be first. True joy means giving up our rights and our preferences and serving everyone else. And that's what church membership means as well. Rainer's words, not mine. Page 36 of your book. And folks, I believe it. That when we begin to serve others and stop thinking about ourselves, there we find joy. There we find joy. Because we're fulfilling what God has called us to do. I mean, I talk about Paul all the time, but he's a perfect example to think about. The man, he hit all kinds of problems. And he never complained. He continued pushing on because he knew what the mission was. He had the mind of Christ. He had the mind of Christ. And we are called to be like Christ. Paul gives another great example in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Now remember in Philippians, begins to go together. But in Philippians, Paul writes to them. Things are going pretty well there, but there are some people that are starting. The Judaizers are still they're kind of an antagonist there in the church, and they're becoming a problem. And there's others that begin to thinking that they're greater than others. And so Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he reminds them about their call, their mission, and what they're to be doing. So chapter 2, verses 5, following to 11 says this. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every name will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, understand there in the very beginning of that, Paul takes the opportunity in this letter to speak to them about not being about them, but how Christ is our example. And he references how Christ, even though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God. He regarded himself as a servant. And that's exactly what he did. He was the King of Kings, but he came down off his throne to be a baby on this earth, to grow up in this earth, to disciple 12 men, and then to be crucified on the cross and to shed his blood for your sin and my sin. He did not consider himself equal with God. He served to the point of death. And folks, he calls us to serve to the point of death. That each and every day we die to ourselves. That means our preferences, our wants, our needs. We die to ourselves and we put Christ Jesus first. Is that always easy? No. Is it awkward sometimes? Oh, yeah. But as my good buddy, I say good buddy, I've only met him twice, Greg Steer says, awkward is awesome. When you're living for Jesus and you're doing his will and you're just following his guidance, life is so much joyful. When you're serving him, you're fulfilling that mission, life is so much more joyful. Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Can you imagine being the church of Philippi and being the ones that were kind of walking around the church beating their chest and then receiving this letter from Paul, and then it says to you, that Jesus himself, the man that you claim to follow and live for, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then he says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed him above every name which is above every name. That Christ died. He was the King of kings, and he died on the cross for you and for me. So if you think you're really that big, son, as Paul writes, I feel, why don't you start acting like Christ? Because Christ, who was God, loved you so much that he died for you. Wasn't about him. Wasn't about his preferences. You see, you go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before Jesus is to be betrayed into the hands of the guards. Right before Peter pulls that sword and cuts off that slave's ear, Jesus is praying. So much so that he is bleeding blood, that he's praying so hard that the blood vessels were popping, however that happened, but he was bleeding from his head. He's praying so hard. But his prayer was this: Lord, if this cup could pass from me, let it be so. But if not, thy will be done. And our prayer needs to resemble that as well. Sometimes we face difficult things in our life. Maybe that difficult thing is telling your family member about Jesus because you're afraid of what it's going to do to your relationship. Maybe it's a best friend at work. Maybe it's just a best friend in general. And you're afraid of what that relationship is going to look like after you share Christ. Are they going to like me still or are they not? Sometimes the hard things that we do are totally worth it, especially when it comes to living for Jesus. We should be bold in sharing our faith. We should trust that God is going to pull us through. And listen, if that friend or that coworker decides to turn away from you and not be a part of you anymore, who cares? You know why? Because you stood up for Christ. You stood for Christ. You held your ground. You were not ashamed of being a Christian. As I start many mornings, many Sunday mornings, I listen to a song by DC Talk called Jesus Freak. And I realize that none of you probably, maybe some of you have heard that song, and maybe not. And if you haven't, it's not easy listening, but it's a good message. It talks about Jesus and it talks about John, the Baptist. And so Jesus Freak talks about what will people do when they find out it's true? What will people know when I'm a Jesus freak. I love Jesus. What are they gonna do when they find out it's true? And at the end of that song, he says, I don't really care what they think because I'm living for Jesus. But it's got a pretty much heavy rock to it. But it gets me pumped up, gets me excited to be here with you all, ready to go. Paul reminds them as he moves through his letter that Jesus was a servant, that he loved the Lord, and he was willing to die for the cause. Because he loved you and he loved me. Folks, if Christ, who went to the cross for our sin, does not consider himself equal with God, then we shouldn't either. Instead, we should follow Christ's example and serve even to the point of death. Which brings us to our third pledge here in this book. And the third pledge is simply this. Now, those of you who don't have books, and maybe this is your first time hearing from the sermon series this morning, at the end of each chapter, there's a pledge. Now, this pledge, we're not going to have you sign in your blood and turn it over to us. It's not like that. Okay? It's simply for you. This is for you. You have to make the decision to follow Christ, to live for him, to trust in him each and every day. But we're hoping that while you read this, you'll agree with these points. And by signing your name and dating it and keeping it for yourself, you'll realize that what you're supposed to be doing. And you can go back to that whenever you're struggling and read what you signed. So this is the third pledge that Rainer came up with. I'm a church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. That is self-serving. I'm a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. My Savior went to the cross for me. I can deal with any inconveniences and matters that just aren't my preference or style. So that means regardless of what we think, regardless of our taste, our preferences, what we believe should be, we're going to put it all aside for the cause of Christ. Because we want to see the gospel be advanced here. And so the message, understand this, folks, the message never changes. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. His blood covered it all. And if we believe in him and trust in him, then we can have Jesus and we can be with Jesus in eternity when he calls us home or we die and we meet him there. That message never changes. But understand that as pastors and staff of the church, we're going to lead you in a direction that might be different than the way we used to do it. Understand that we're trying to reach all different kinds of people in this world. And so the people that come through those doors, they may not look like you. They may not talk like you. They may not walk like you. And they may not even smell like you. But that's okay. Because as Christians, we're called to love. Christ says it a lot. And so we're going to love people. And we're going to get them to Jesus Christ. And they may not be perfect when they walk in those doors, and that's okay. But it's not our job to change them. Our job is to show them how Christ changes us. The only person that can change someone is Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the convicting of his word and through prayer, they and only them can begin to change a person's heart. Our job is to be those servant leaders and those examples for others to see. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we thank you for the many blessings you give us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to open your word, to study it, Father. Lord, help us to understand what it means to be a church member that is not that is not about our preferences and our wants. Father, help us, help it to all be about you. Lord, help us to dive into our word, into your word, Father. To study it, to apply it to our lives, Father. And Lord, may we be a shining example to those that walk through this door for the first time, that they may realize that we're not perfect, but that we serve you. Father, help us to be a loving and caring church, reaching all those we can for you. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would be able to understand that it's as simple as asking you to be their Lord and Savior and then following you. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that you are Lord, then we shall be saved. And I believe that with all my heart, Father. But Lord, I also believe what you tell us in the end of Matthew before you ascended into heaven, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that you are with us through that entire process. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to be servant leaders. We love you so much. We ask this all in your name. Amen. I'll be here in the front. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. If you want to talk, if you want to pray, maybe you want to understand what it means to follow Jesus even more, I'll be here. There's nothing that I can say over you or throw at you or beat you with to make you saved. It's a decision that you have to make on your own. But I'll be glad to walk you through the process. Let's stand and sing.